Today being the 20th day of Ramadan, 1445 years after the hijrah of the Holy Prophet from the holy city of Makkah to the blessed city of Medina, equivalent to 30th day of March, 2024 years after the era of Anabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the annual Ramadan tafsir organized by the International Organization of Tijaniya Brotherhood in partnership with Tijaniya Muslim Studies Association of Nigeria, Ahmadu Bello University Zara Chapter, the Faculty of Engineering Mosque of the main campus, continues from the 12th ayah of Surah Zuhruf. Our Sheikh Professor Abdullah Lukina will conduct the tafsir, while Ustad Abdul Mumin Yaqub will recite the Holy Quran text. You can watch us live on the Facebook at Timsan National and Timsan ABU Zara.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم لتستووا على ظهوره ثم تذكروا نعمة ربكم إذا استويتم عليه وتقولوا سبحان الذي سخر لنا هذا وما كنا له مقرنين
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم ملك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد الفاتح لما أغلق والخاتم لما سبق ناصر الحق بالحق والهادي إلى صراطك المستقيم وعلى آله حق قدره مقداره العظيم سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين لتستووا على ظهوره ثم تذكروا نعمة ربكم إذا استويتم عليه وتقولوا سبحان الذي سخر لنا هذا وما كنا له مقرنين الله تبارك وتعالى told us yesterday as we, in the previous verse, that he has subjected the sheep and the animals of burdens to us, that we use it to convey. And we discuss at length how we should treat animals and how we should treat them when we are carrying loads on them. At the completion of that, Allah is telling us, لتستووا على ظهوره ثم تذكروا نعمة ربكم إذا استويتم عليه. These animals that I've given you, all these things that I've given you to use to carry you, لتستووا على ظهوره, is for you that you should settle and rest on top of it. And when it takes you up, ثم تذكروا by the time when you are finally settled on it, then you should think about the blessings of Allah that He has done for you. And you should say this, Subhanalladhi sakharalna hadha. Far away is Allah removed from any imperfection. Glory is His. The one that subjected this to us. وَمَا كُنَّا لَهُ مُكْرِنِينَ. Indeed, we would have been able to put yoke on it and compel it, or would have been able to make it distance our own companions if Allah did not subject them to us. Here, Allah has told us that He is the one وَجَعَلَكُمْ مِنَ الْفُلْكِ وَالْأَنْعَامِ مَا تَرْكَبُونَ. That He is the one that has made sheep, that sheep doesn't have biological life. Well, an army, livestock, and other and the animals, they have biological life. Tarkabun, that we should decline in them. Here, the issue of if any creature of Allah climbing another creature of Allah or something that is manufactured by himself or created by that human being or that creature and climb it as a transport is only specific to human beings. It's one of the things that Allah used in giving dignity to human beings. You will never see any animal that will create another structure or another transport that will be carrying him about. You will never see another animal. He will bring another animal and subject it to be carrying him about. Only human being has this. Allah said, وَلَكَدْ كَرَّمْنَا بَنِي آدَمْ وَحَمَلْنَاهُمْ فِي الْبَرِّ وَالْبَحْرِ وَرَزَقْنَاهُمْ مِنَ الطَّيِّبَاتِ. It's only human being that Allah has given this dignity to. So if we are given this dignity, then we should know and ask ourselves, are we the one that have the power to create this dignity for ourselves? Look at human being. When he is giving birth to, the mother will have to carry her or him on her back. Later on, he will walk on two legs. As he is walking on two legs, at any one particular time, only one leg is carrying him. The walking of a human being itself is a miracle. Human being walks with two legs, but at any one time, only one leg is carrying him. You don't walk with the two legs at a time, only one you put on the ground when you are walking, which means despite your weight, one leg will carry you with your balance before you put another leg down. Only the human being has these characteristics. Then, by the time the human being has gotten to an age, he will see another animal, like a camel, and he will be climbing the camel to take him to wherever he wished to. Allah said, on this transport you are carried to remove all the stress. You don't carry the stress of having to take all your loot on your head and go to wherever you are going. The animal, they help you. The cars, they help you. The ship, they help you. Look at the tons and tons of products that is shipped from other places, from the eastern nation, from the western nation to our place, from our place to the western nations. These are in millions of tons every year. The human being does not carry it by himself. All is carried for him by this ship. And yourself, the vehicle carries you or the animal carries you. In another place, Allah, he says, أَفَلَا يَزُرُنَا إِلَى الْإِبْلِ كَيْفَ هُلِقَتْ وَإِلَى السَّمَاءِ كَيْفَ رُفِعَتْ وَإِلَى الْجِبَالِ كَيْفَ نُصِبَتْ وَإِلَى الْأَرْضِ كَيْفَ اسْتُحَتْ فَذَكِّرْ إِنَّمَا أَنْتَ مُذَكِّرْ. When you But whenever you climb any transport, before you climb, you are not seeing anything. But immediately you climb, even if it's a car or a bus or more specifically an airship like an aeroplane, you start seeing a lot of things. Allah says, anytime a camel carries you, immediately he carries you off. What happens? You start seeing the sky. You start seeing the mountain. You start seeing the vegetation. As you are seeing this, it doesn't bring Allah back to your mind. That's why these eyes that we have, use it. When you are in the car, don't just see the vehicle in front of you. There is that sky, the huge sky in front of you. There are the trees that you are passing through. All this Allah said he subjected and made them because of you. What do you think of it? Look at a car or a transport system that you use in the farm or in constructing roads. As huge as it is, the human being made it. Look at the camel, as big as it is. A child of 10 years will go and take the camel, make it to kneel down for him, and he will climb, and it will stand up, and he will direct it. Even the ram is stronger than a human being. The ram. Let alone a cow, let alone a camel. If the camel was to use the leg just to kick you, you would get destroyed. But Allah subjected them to you. You climbed it. When you climb, you can now see the air. You get more fresh air. when you are in vehicle than when you are just standing. All this Allah is saying, whenever you are on it, you should think of the blessings of Allah on you. Because it will make you to witness things that you did not witness when you are standing alone. And there's another thing that he's doing. He's carrying you from one place to another place. All of us, we used to say, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. From the day you came to this world in a cradle, Allah just reminded all, Allazi ja'alakum al-arda mihadan, that he also made the earth for you a cradle. You are going to walk it on this cradle, comfortable for you. Know that your journey from the day you are giving birth to will not end until the day you die. That journey is long. Don't be in a hurry in any part of it. This animal is taking you through part of that journey. This vehicle is taking you through part of that journey. And as you are going through that journey, you are seeing things that you did not see in your house. By the time you climb it, you should look and think of the blessings that Allah has provided for you in all these things. Then, when you see that, you say, oh Allah, this vehicle, I can't have control over it. This animal, I can't have control over it. This sheep, I can't have control over it. It's Allah that subjected them to me. Subhanallah, sakharana haza. Glory be to Allah, far away, free, removed from any imperfection. The one that subjected this to us. We are definitely, kareem is to be companionship to something, or to be tied to something, or for you to have a yoke to control something. None of this you have power to, but Allah is the one that created them for you. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, one day they saw him, he was going to come and climb his mount. And then he said, Subhanallah, walhamdulillah, wallahu akbar, bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Then he climbed the camel. After climbing the camel, then he said, Alhamdulillah, 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 Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Subhanalladhi sakharana hadha wa ma kunna lahu mukrinin wa inna ila rabbina lamunqalibun. After saying this, he said, he said all this, he said, oh Allah, then he went further, he said, Allahumma inni astaghfiruka oh Allah, I'm seeking your forgiveness from all my sins. None can forgive sins except you. Then he smiled. Smiled broadly. Then people asked him, you climbed, you prayed, then why, what are you smiling for? He said, that's the way I saw the Prophet climbed. And when he climbed, he also smiled. And I asked him, what is he smiling for? He said, anytime a servant of Allah said, Allahumma ikfirli zunubi kulliha fa inna la ikfirli zunuba illa anta. Allah is so happy. He's amazed that my servant knows that nobody can forgive him his sin except me. And the Prophet smiled. Anytime you are going to do anything at all, not only climbing, anything you want to do, say Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. The reason of always saying Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim that the Prophet taught us, Kullu amrin zi barin la yibda'u Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim wa huwa abtar. Anything that is important that you are going to start, you don't say Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, that thing will be short-lived. Because whenever you say Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, with all your mind concentrated on Allah at the time you are saying it, then that thing will come easy. Because you are the one trying to do something, but Allah has entered it now. So it should be easy, made easy for you by Allah. If it's an animal you are climbing, and you say that, the animal will not feel the weight that you have put on it. The same thing in a vehicle. The vehicle will be lightened by this prayer. Always, anything you are going to do, say Bismillah Rahman Rahim. You are going to write something that has life, say Subhanallah, Saharalna Haza, Makulna Lahumukrinin, Raina Ila Rabina Lamukalibun. Then, if it's something that has no life, the ulama they said, you have to say Bismillah Mujreha or Murseha, Inna Rabbina Ghafurun Rahim. It's better you say what the prayer that Allah taught Anabi Nuh to say when he was climbing the ark, that is the ship. Bismillah Mujreha or Murseha. It's in the name of Allah that it is going to say, it's going to move, and you know, Murseha that has subjected it and it's going to move. Allah, Tabarak wa Ta'ala, is most forgiving. So always, we should remember this. وَإِنَّا إِلَىٰ رَبِّنَا لَمُنْقَلِبُونَ. Definitely, all of us, we are going to go back to Allah. We are not going to be there on these things forever. Allah is listing for us the different things that He has done for us, blessings and favors. He has told us, He is one who put this earth for us. He is one who sent this rain for us. And He is one who brought things to sprout. And He's the one who made us to be more complete and more fulfilled. Because as alone, we are incomplete. We are incomplete, we are unfulfilled. If the man was alone, he's incomplete. If the lady was alone, he's incomplete. And He created everything in prayer. So this prayer is to make you to be more complete and more fulfilled. Now He's telling us that He is also the one who put these things for us, to be riding, to be carrying our loads from one place to another. We should be grateful to Allah, and we should not use these things to sin against Him.
وَإِنَّا إِلَىٰ رَبِّنَا لَمُنْقَلِبُونَ.
وَإِنَّا إِلَىٰ رَبِّنَا لَمُنْقَلِبُونَ. And we should know this, wa inna, for indeed all of us, ila rabbina, to our Lord, that is the one that's making all this provision for us, la munqalibun, we shall finally go back to. Allah all the time, when He's talking of His relationship between Himself and us, He brings Rabb, wa inna ila rabbina, Rabbus samawati wal ard, Rabbul alamin. He's always using the word Rabb to bring our attention to the fact that provisions are given to us by Allah. Our education is by Allah. That anything that Allah is showing us is part of our training. When you look at yourself, it's part of your training. When the Prophet stands in front of something that will show his image, like water, or something that any that is mirroring his face, the Prophet will pray, Allahumma kama hassanta khalqi wa hassin khulqi, Allah, like You have made my form to be beautiful, also make my character to be beautiful. You see your hand, you see how Allah has made it good. Thank Allah, let it teach you something. You see your foot as you are walking, let it teach you something. You are climbing any vehicle, let it teach you something. When you are on it, you are looking, don't just be looking at the vehicle in front of you. Look at everything, from the firmament, down to the trees, down to even the people that are walking, let it teach you something. Everything is to Allah, is educating us with it. It's a provision for us. I have always told you, all of us, these three things, as long as you have it, you have no reason before Allah. وَجَعَلَكُمُ السَّمْعَ وَالْأَبْصَارَ وَالْأَفْئِدَةَ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَشْكُرُونَ. In another place, قَلِيلًا مَا تَشْكُرُونَ. Allah said, He has given us hearing. He has given us the sight. He has given us the mind. These are the three things. If you have it, even if you are a leper, even if you have no leg, even if you have no hand, you have no reason. Because your hearing is for you to hear things and pick out the good one of them. Alladhina yastami'una al-qawla yattabi'una ahsana. Follow the good one of it. Your sight is to show you things, and the one that you are allowed to see and study it. The one you are not allowed to see, take your eyes away from it. And your mind is to coordinate all this and be thinking about it later on. I saw this. Allah did this for me. Allah did this for me. Some people cannot see. Some people cannot hear. You are hearing, you are seeing. So we are all going to go back to Allah, and where we shall be asked, of all these blessings that He gave to us, how did we use it? May Allah make us to
to be successful.
وَجَعَلُوا لَهُ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ جُزْءًا إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَكَفُورٌ مُبِينٌ
وَجَعَلُوا لَهُ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ جُزْءًا إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَكَفُورٌ مُبِينٌ Allah Ta'ala is now coming to tell us, after He has told us the different favors He has made for us, He said, وَجَعَلُوا لَهُ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ جُزْءًا. What is wrong with this man? وَجَعَلُوا لَهُ. They established for him, or they put down for him, مِنْ عِبَادِهِ. Out of the slaves, his own slaves that he created, جُزْءًا, a part that is part of divinity. إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ. For sure, man, لَكَفُورٌ, is excessively ungrateful. مُبِينٌ, clearly ungrateful. How can Allah did all this for us? Set up a house for us. This world is the house of the creatures of Allah, done specifically for human beings. Then Allah will bring down the rain. Allah will give us what we are eating. Allah will now go ahead and give us our mode of transport. And instead of thanking Him and asking, have we done our work? Where have we reached in our work? Where are we going to continue tomorrow? But instead, we take that servitude, we go and give it to part of the servant of Allah Himself. It's like somebody who was employed by the government. They take you to your office, this is your office. In your office, there's an air condition, there's a refrigerator, there is tea, there is what you will eat, what you will entertain guests that come to visit you in the office with. And work is given to you. A vehicle is given to you to take you to wherever you want to go to. Even a vehicle is given to you, maybe some people to serve you your domestic chores. After all this, you come to the work. The work you asked to do, you did not do it. Then you sit with your friends. You start cracking jokes in the office. You are only looking at television that is put there for you. You commit all forms of discussions. But when you stand up, you say, I must go and greet this person. His wife delivered. I must go and tell him that congratulations. Then you left, you go there. You don't forget to do those ones. Somebody comes to you, please give me the vehicle for your work. I want to do something with it. Quickly you give him. The work you asked to do, you have not done it. Are you grateful? The same thing we used to see. Most of these dignities in offices are given to assist them to do their work. The same thing Allah has done for us. He has given us a land to have our houses. He has given us food to eat. He has given us transport. He has given us even companions, our wives. All this to assist us in the work that we are going to do. We should do the work. Allah is not asking us. He's the one who put these things there for us to enjoy. Like we said yesterday, قُلْ مَنْ حَرَّمَ زِنَةَ اللَّهِ الَّتِي أَخْرَجَ لِعِبَادِهِ وَالطَّيِّبَاتِ مِنَ الرِّزْقِ قُلْ هِيَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. All these things that Allah put for us is for us to enjoy it as we are doing the work. Let's not refuse to do the work. I will just concentrate on enjoying it. Then we are going to have problems. So that's why Allah is telling us here, وَجَعَلُوا لَهُمْ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ جُزْءًا. All these people that are giving part of divinity to something, whatever they put it, they give that part of divinity to, is itself either a creation of God or what the creation of God has created. How do you see somebody who goes to take wood or to take plastic or to take gold, carve it out into an image? He is one who carved it out just now, or with his own money he went to purchase it. Can Allah be purchased with money? Then he comes back, put it in front of him, and start kneeling down in front of it. Some of them even say they have books from God. An image, just an image that they just carved. They will go and kneel down in front of that image. That is one. Some people, it's not the image. It's a human being like themselves. They go to that human being that is like themselves. They kneel down before him. Whatever he says is what they do. Even if that is against Allah, it's against the Prophet. The respect they are giving to this person, they have not given to their parents. All this is taking what belongs to Allah and giving it to somebody else. وَجَعَلُوا لَهُ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ جُزْءًا. Why are you giving worship to other than Allah? We are not allowed to worship any other than Allah. وَقَدَيَ رَبُّكَ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُوا إِلَّا إِيَّاهُ وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا. The people that, if they should be worshipped, that deserve it, will have been parents. But Allah said, I don't agree. What you should do, to them, be nice to them, be dutiful to them, be good to them. No matter how much somebody has done good to you, it's not up to Allah. If Allah did not create you, the person will not know you to do that good for you. Suddenly somebody elected you or chose you to come and be a minister. You are a minister. Respect him. But don't turn him into a god. If he asks you to do something that is wrong, tell him this thing you asked me to do is wrong, sir. No, I say you must do it. Okay, this is your work, leave it and go. Simple. You're not a slave. The same thing, a woman, the husband says, you must do something that is against what Allah asks you to do. Refuse to do it. But continue to respect him. The same thing with a child. We have an example of an Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. The parents, the father or uncle asked him to worship idol. He refused. But he was still respecting his uncle. Ya Abati, oh my dear father, oh my dear father. Respect we must give. Worship we must not. This does not mean that if you bow down to greet somebody, you have worshipped him. No. Worship, everybody knows worship. You can stand up and be worshiping somebody. You can even be lying down and you are still worshiping somebody. Worship is to give part of divinity that belongs to Allah to somebody else. They ask you to do what Allah says is bad, you do it. When you are doing it, you say in their name. Like those people that go to war, they say in the name of the king, they are fighting. It means the king is now their God. So all of us, we should be very careful. The whole of worship belongs to Allah. We shouldn't worship anything aside Allah. But anything apart from Allah, starting from our parents, we should respect them and we should be nice to them as much as possible. We should not be grateful. Allah has provided all this for us. Kufr, in Arabic originally, what it means is ingratitude. That's why the opposite of it is shukr, gratitude. Mubin, something that is very clear. And today we can see it. We can see from our fellow brothers, from our fellow Muslim brothers, when we ask, are we worshipping God? Somebody is asked to give zakah. He has the money for zakah, he has not given zakah. But he will take the money and buy houses, cars, for people that are meaningless. Here you are now worshipping something else. Allah asks you to say, to pray 5 times daily. You have not come to the mosque to pray. You have not gone to any congregation to say a prayer. But you can stay in the meeting, even till night. But you will not do Qiyam al-Layl. All these things, we should be very careful. Whatever we are doing are a reason against us before God. Look at what Allah asked us to do. Have we done it? Look at all the things we are doing. A lot of us, you are having tests now. If you go inside the class and your teacher is teaching, do you agree with him? Huh? If your teacher is teaching, do you agree with him? Do you sit down and you make noise in the class? You dare not. But Allah asked you, he said, فَإِذَا قُرِيَ الْقُرْآنَ فَاسْتَمِعُوا لَهُ وَأَنْصِتُوا. When Quran is being recited, Allah said, is one talking? Try to listen to it and keep quiet. Do you keep quiet? You don't. But in the class, you dare not do that. If Allah is saying, do this, do this, you don't pay attention attentively, but in the class you pay attention because you want to pass. That's all. All these things, you have to be careful. What is due for Allah? This our hearing, this our sight, this our mind. Let us give all to Allah. Let's not withdraw anything. We told anything. Even in the classes, let it be for Allah.
وَإِذَا بُشِّرَ أَحَدُهُمْ بِمَا ضَرَبَ لِلرَّحْمَنِ مَثَلًا ظَلَّ وَجْهُهُ مُسْوَدًّا وَهُوَ كَظِيمٌ
وَإِذَا بُشِّرَ أَحَدُهُمْ بِمَا ضَرَبَ لِلرَّحْمَنِ مَثَلًا This is another thing that Allah is telling us, the lack of ingratitude, lack of not being grateful, the ingratitude of the human being. Apart from taking part of divinity and giving it to Allah, they also do this. Whenever one of them, you come to give him a glad tidings with what he himself said that is for Allah. As an example, Zalla wajuhu muswaddan, you find that his face is black. Huwa kazim, he's distressed. What is it that they are claiming that is for Allah? They say, the angels, banatullah, the angels are daughters of Allah. Angels are daughters of Allah. How do you know that angels are daughters of Allah? You don't like to have daughters as your children. Whenever they come to tell you, where is our Bushira Hadum? Whenever they come and tell them, you have a good news. What is the good news? Your wife has delivered. What? The baby girl. You see his face suddenly black. Distressed. He's thinking, is he going to bury Amiadusumi Turab? Am I going to push him inside? Or what am I going to do? Everybody sees that a woman is weak, is frail, cannot talk, but man is strong, vibrant, can come out. Everybody wants to have a man. But they forgot they were giving birth by a woman. Despite the frailty of this woman is the one that gave birth to the men. When you now tell them that their wife has given birth to a lady, they feel very bad. Why? Why? In those days, in the Arabs, without any allowing anybody to know, they keep the lady in the house. By the time she's up to 2-3 years, they go and bury her. Till today, it's still going on in the world. Particularly in India, a lot of them bury their daughters alive. To them, a daughter is a liability, because in their place, if they have a daughter, they will have to pay the dowry. They will have to prepare her for marriage. And this preparation costs a lot of money. Who gave them these responsibilities to do this? Who put this load on them? And unfortunately, we Muslims today, we are copying these people blindly. Whoever says that all these boxes we are buying, is Islam? No. It's Indian people are copying. The Prophet never did all this nonsense. A person that wants to marry your daughter, you know him, you know the father, you are sure you are going to give him your daughter. He said, no, engagement first. Then later on, go and greet. Later on, where are the clothes? Later on, where are the boxes? Then you too, you are going to borrow money. What are you going to do? You have to go and buy furniture. Furniture that even you, the father, you don't have in the house, you are buying it for a person that is just starting his life. This kind of lies, where would it go to? That's why, particularly in India, most of them, if they have one daughter, they have a second daughter, they are not happy. But yet, even in such places, most of their idols, they are carved to look like women. You give divinity to Allah, you say they are ladies, but you don't want to have ladies. Whenever you are told you have ladies, you browse it, you will find out how many daughters are being killed daily, on daily basis, in their hundreds, if not thousands, in India. And today we are copying them blindly. What is wrong with us? How was Sayyida Fatima married out? How was Sayyida Umm Kulsum married out? How was Sayyida Aisha married herself? How was Sayyida Hafsa married herself to the Prophet? If you tell people, no, you know it's the culture today, hold to your culture and forget about the Prophet. If you want to stay with Allah, stay with Allah. If you don't want to stay with Allah, go away. You're not needed. Who are you afraid of? We bring all these cultures. What we don't want for Allah, we want it for ourselves. Whoever you are, you, your grandfather, whatever you are, you're not up to the footstep of the Prophet. He did do all this nonsense. Because of that, our young boys today, they can't marry. Because they are going to marry, they are afraid of responsibilities. A lot of parents today, if you come, you want to marry their daughter, they say, okay, you may have to give me the next 6 months. Why? They are going to look for money. Who gave them this load? Who put it on their head? Satan. If they don't know, Satan put it on your head. Nobody put it on your head. Not Allah, not the Prophet. What Allah asked for? وَآتُوا نِسَاءَ صَدُقَاتِهِنَّ نِخْلَةً. Give women their dowry is as a gift. The Prophet made it so easy that there was even a Sahaba that didn't have, but the Prophet asked him, do you know something of the Quran? He said, yes. Go and teach your wife what you know of the Quran. That will stand as the dowry. That's how easy, at the time of the Prophet, it was. Let us do things the way the Prophet did it. It's not by the word of mouth, kitab or sunnah, kitab. No, no, no. Let people see it in you. That's what Allah is asking now. وَإِذَا بُشِرَ أَحَدُهُمْ بِمَا دَرَبَ لِلرَّحْمَانِ مَثَلًا. What they are attributing to Allah, their idols are made of picture of women. You are attributing ladies to Allah. When they now say you have given birth to a lady, you see them, their face is dark. ذَلَّ وَجِهُهُ مُسْوَدًّا وَهُوَ كَزِينٌ. And in distress. That's why Allah is asking them. On the day of judgment, those of you that bury your daughters, Allah is going to ask you, وَإِذَا الْمَعُودَةِ سُوِلَتْ بِعَيْزَنْ مِنْ كُتِلَتْ. And it's another form of burial today. When you leave your daughters, you don't marry them out. Out of fear, you don't have what you're going to use in marrying them. And you allow them to suffer. It's a form of burial in poverty. So let us all be very careful and let us follow Allah. If Allah blesses you with a child, a woman, be happy. Your mother is a woman. If Allah blesses you with a man, be happy. Your father is a man. The two of them are blessings from Allah. Just like in the last chapter, we have Lima Yashao Inasan, we have Lima Yashao Zukur, Ayuzawijhum Zukurana wa Inasa, Wajaluma Yashao Akima. Allah gives to whoever he wishes, only female children, like he did to Anabi Lutu, at least like he did to Anabi Shuaibu. Or he gives only male, like he did to Anabi Ibrahim. Or he combines it, like he gave it to the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Whichever one Allah gives you, or if he so wishes, he will not give you any, like he did to Anabi Aya, who was even married, but he did not touch his wife, and he died.
وَمَنْ يَنْشَأُ فِي الْحِلْيَةِ وَهُوَ فِي الْخِصَامِ غَيْرُ مُبِينَ.
وَمَنْ يَنْشَأُ فِي الْحِلْيَةِ وَهُوَ فِي الْخِصَامِ غَيْرُ مُبِينَ. Allah Ta'ala is asking, whether the Rabbah, each of them, وَإِذَا بُشِرَ أَحَدُهُمْ بِمَا دَرَبَ لِلرَّحْمَنِ مَثَلًا ظَلَّ وَجْهُهُ مُسْوَدًّا وَهُوَ كَظِيمٌ. Oh, man yanshaw fil khilyati. The one that you are saying should be for Allah. Is this one that always is always embellished with all sorts of embellishments and decorations and jewelries? Oh, man yanshaw fil khilyati wa huwa fil khisami. And the one that when there is a dispute for him to come out and clarify Gail Mubin is not able to clarify. Women are frail. Women is not, they are not complete, except they are with their jewelries. A young boy of 20 years old will just come out, even without combing his head, just his shirt and trousers. He's complete, handsome. But a lady of that age, he has to wait, earring, necklace, put eye lashes, put paint the face before he can come out. That's why Allah said, "Our man yanshakul khayyati." Is it this one that has to be put in decorations, in embellishment, in jewelries, before he can be complete? That's the one you give to Allah. The one that even if he has to make dispute, he cannot clarify himself. But the one that you think is complete, like a young man, no, is for you. The other one is for Allah. What sort of judgment is this? So all of us, we have been told here, women are created delicate. They also require jewelry. They also require what to wear. This is how Allah has made women. They are also frail and weak. I always tell men, don't come and say, my wife did this, did that. This my wife is not reasonable. This my wife is not this. Your wife is a woman, is not a man. You are the man. You are different from your wife. If your wife was a man, you would not be allowed to marry her. So men should be responsible and take their responsibility. Women, because of their frail mind, their weaknesses, that Allah purposely gave it to them like that because of the kind of work they are going to do. They are going to be with the weak ones. Who are the weak ones? The newly born, the children. They are weak, they are tender. If you go and, if the woman has a hand of the man, you will break the child. But the woman's hand is soft. He's also frail. The child is frail, but the woman is more intelligent. So he takes the child and brings her up. So if you have a wife, you must learn patience with your wife. Because Allah has made you to be stronger, to be able to talk better. Women can only abuse better. They can't talk better. They can only quarrel. When it comes to explanation, they can't stand out and say, this is what happened, this is, and arrange it neatly. They can only be sentimental. But you, the husband, you are the one that you should stand up for a woman. Ar-rijalu qawwamuna 'ala an-nisa'i bima faddala Allahu ba'dahum 'ala ba'dihim. Allah said, men are the ones to stand for their wives. They are annoyed. Don't reply with annoyance. Leave them. Let them display their annoyance. They are like children. Call her. Just with one joke, you settle everything. A woman can nag. You go out as you are coming, just bring one stick of suya to the house, one stick, and call her. Are you okay now? Come and take this. In your brain, she will just smile as if nothing happened. And it is, that's the end of it. Don't say, oh, yesterday you did this, 2 days ago you did this. No. Women are frail, they are weak. Sometimes they will not come out to tell you what is bothering them. It's when it is too much, they just explode. When it comes to this food, they are not able to explain themselves clearly. Allah is telling you all this, that when he gives you a wife, you know how to take your wife and hold him close to yourself. No matter what a woman is, even if she's a president of a country, she's weak. There is a meeting. Inside the meeting, quickly you find they come out. They go to the toilet. They are putting their face again. They are always carrying a mirror with them. Because if they don't feel complete, except they see their face is okay. Are you like that? Sometimes somebody has to remind you, you have not put up your water. You have not combed your hair. They are not like that. So please, Allah created these women to be our mothers, to be our wives, to be our daughters. All this description that Allah is attributing to them, that's how they are. It's not out of defection. No, that's how Allah made it. That's the perfection of a woman. To be frail, to be soft, to be weak, to be wanting to wear jewelry. That's why I say that Aisha sometimes, if he's going to travel with the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he has no jewelry, he will go and go to wear. Don't say, must you wear? No, that's a woman.
وجعلوا الملائكة الذين هم عند الرحمن إناثا أأشهدوا خلقهم ستكتب شهادتهم ويسألون
وجعلوا الملائكة الذين عند الرحمن إناثا أأشهدوا خلقهم ستكتب شهادتهم ويسألون And this is another thing that they do. Apart from making their idols to look like women, وَجَعَلُوا الْمَلَائِكَةَ الَّذِينَ عِنْدَ الرَّحْمَانِ إِنَاسَ The angels that they say come from Allah, that they say Allah is one sending, whether it's for rain, whether it's for riches, whether it's the angel that brings messages to the prophets, whether it's the angel of death, all of this, whether it's Israelu or Israfilu or Mikailu or Jibril, all these angels, they know their names. In Asan, they said they are females. Allah says, أَأُشْهِدُوا خَلْقَهُمْ Were they called to witness when these creatures were being created and they know they are women? If that is so, Allah said, then سَتُكْتَوْ شَهَدَتُهُمْ Then we shall write them their witness. وَيُسْأَلُونَ Then they shall be asked. In your recitation, أَشَهِدُوا خَلْقَهُمْ In our own أَأُشْهِدُوا خَلْقَهُمْ Here, these angels, you might hear they say, Angel Gabriel or Jibril, Mikael, Israfil, they are not women. You might hear Malaika, it ends up with Tawl Marbuta. It doesn't mean that they are female. They are not female, they are not males. That's how Allah created them. But in speech, because we are used to using male and female, the speech may classify them as male and female, but that does not make them male and female. Like the sun, we say it's female. The moon, we say it's male. The star, we say it's male. But they are neither male nor they are female. All these things Allah is telling us. Nobody witnessed where these angels were created. Nobody can say they are male or female. This is beyond your knowledge. You are not there. This is part of the ingratitude of mankind to go into what does not concern him. Min husn al-Islam al-mar'i tarkuhu ma la ya'nihi. What you have nothing to do with, if the angel, whatever he is, how does it affect you? How does it affect your life? Have you ever seen any angel? Has any angel ever come to you? Okay, there's an angel in charge of the rain. There's one in charge of wealth. There's one in charge of debt. Do you know any of them? So why are you going to conjecture, and you want to conjecture that they are like this, they are not like this? By doing that, what do you gain? That's why the Prophet ﷺ said, for a person's religion to be good, he must abandon what does not bother him. What is not your responsibility? Go to your own responsibility and do that.
وقالوا لو شاء الرحمن ما عبدناهم ما لهم بذلك من علم إن هم إلا يخرصون
وقالوا لو شاء الرحمن ما عبدناهم ما لهم بذلك من علم إن هم إلا يخرصون وجعل الملائكة الذين هم عند الرحمن إناسا أشهدوا خلقهم ستكتب شهادتهم ويسألون وقالوا لو شاء الرحمن ما عبدناهم They now said, if the merciful one so wishes, because they know Allah is very merciful, ما عبدناهم, we would have worshipped them. ما لهم بذلك من علم Do they have any knowledge concerning about that? لو شاء الرحمن ما عبدناهم ما لهم بذلك من علم إن هم إلا يخرصون They are only making conjectures. They are now going into another sin that is very grievous. They are now trying to dictate to Allah the thinking of Allah. Law Shah Ar-Rahman. If Ar-Rahman, the most merciful, so wishes, they know message from Allah. Ma abadna, we wouldn't have worshipped them. This statement is correct. Ma lahum bizalika min ilmin. But do they know how Allah thinks? They don't know Allah, let alone for them to know how Allah thinks. In humu illa yakhrusun. They are just making conjectures, conjectures, conjectures. Why? Because la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. So since it is that whatever we do, wallahu khalaqakum ma ta'malun, Allah is one that created you and what you do, then if Allah so wishes, we wouldn't have worshipped anything other than Allah. That is correct. But in they are saying that to justify the fact that they are worshipping the angels. Allah is the one that permitted them. If Allah did not permit them, why would they worship? Huh? Allah wala yadda li ibadil kufur wa in tashkuru yardahu lakum. Allah says he is not pleased for any of his slaves to be engaged in denial, in idolatry, in associating partners with Allah. But he is pleased if you are thankful to him. Then, but why does he allow kufur? You have to know how Allah does his things, not how you do your things. You are a human being, you are not Allah. It's very simple. All of us, we are here, alhamdulillah, we are students in this semester. If you go into the examination hall and they give you a question papers, who said the question for you? The examiner. Is that not so? Has he taught you or he did not teach you? He taught you. Does he know the answer or he doesn't know the answer? He knows the answers. Does he want you to fail? Does he want you to fail? No. He wants you to pass. But he also wants to know who is the best in the class. He also wants to know who is it that did not understand what he taught. He also wants to know who was it that was not serious in the class. And the only way he will know that is by giving you this examination. So during the examination, he comes supervising your examination going around. If he sees you writing what is wrong, will he correct you? I'm asking, will he correct you? Then you ask him that if he so wishes, I will not write what is wrong because he sees me that what I'm writing is wrong and he allowed me to write what is wrong. No, you are in an examination hall. So when you are there, when you are writing what is correct, he's seeing you, he'll keep quiet. When you're writing what is wrong, you see, he'll keep quiet. The only thing he can do is to go back to the board and say, hint, this question, pa, remember this. You need this table, you need this graph. That's all he can do. In this world, we are put in this world with this life to test us. So you will see somebody killing somebody, Allah will leave him. Not that Allah is pleased with him, that's what he taught him. But it's in an examination. It's like you are in the lab. You are giving test tube. You are giving your beaker. You are giving your burner. You are giving your acid. You are giving your base. You are giving your water. You are giving your pipette. You are asked to do your experiment. You have been taught. When you are carrying the experiment and you are carrying it out wrongly, Allah is not afraid that you will burn his lab because you cannot burn his lab. If you are going to burn yourself, he will look at you. If he tells you it is wrong, then he's cheating. No teacher will tell you in an examination hall, whether it's in the lab or it's in the written exam, that what you are writing is wrong. That's not what I ask you to write. I'm not going to, please, when you come, I will not mark it correct. Please write what is correct. No, you have been taught. That they are now saying, Lasha Rahman, ma abadnahum, ma lahum bidhalika min ilm. They have no knowledge of what Allah is doing. If they knew they are in an examination hall, they will know that even if they want to kill themselves, Allah will leave them. Kill yourself. We are going to mark your paper. When the paper comes, we will look at it, I will mark it. That's why some people are surprised. If Allah is one, he's saying, is Rabbul Alameen. Why is it that this one is stealing? Allah is not intervening. This one is killing. Allah is not intervening. This one is doing witchcraft. Allah is not intervening. No, You go to Allah, what you want from Allah, ask. Allah shall protect you, ask Allah. Don't go to trouble, because all this is part of your examination. From the beginning of the world, or the time you come to this world until you leave, you are in examination. Since you are in an examination, part of that examination will be marked. Before the age of puberty, it will not be marked. The bad ones will be forgiven, the good ones will be given to your parents. So, as long as you are in an examination hall, your teacher should never correct you. She never ask you what you have written is wrong. You should wait until the scripts come to him. So Allah, now we are in an examination. We are sitting down now. We are listening to the Quran. We are listening to tafsir. Some people are also sitting somewhere else. They are taking alcohol. Some people are sitting somewhere else. They are thinking of how to kill. Some people are sitting somewhere else. They are thinking of how to steal. All everybody is doing his own. Allah is looking at everyone. The script is going back to him. فَمَنْ أُوتِيَ كِتَابَهُ بِيَمِينِهِ وَسَوْفَ يُحَاسَبُ حِسَابًا يَسِيرًا وَيَنْقَلِبُ إِلَىٰ أَهْلِهِ مَسْرُورًا وَمَنْ أُوتِيَ كِتَابَهُ وَرَاءَ ظَهْرِهِ وَسَوْفَ يَدْعُو ثُبُورًا وَيَصْلَى سَعِيرًا. Some are going to be given their book in their right hand. Some are going to be given their book in their left hand. Some are going to be given their book through their back. So all that they are saying is just conjectures. It, Allah la yabdeli ibadi al-kufr wa in yashkuru yardahu lahum. If they thank Allah, Allah is pleased. If you write what is good in your exam, your teacher is happy. If you write what is wrong, he is not happy. But there's nothing you can do about that. May Allah forgive all of us. Let us try to follow Allah, to follow the Quran, to follow the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He's the example we have. We have no other example.
This person prays, may Almighty Allah increase you in knowledge and grant you long life and prosperity. Question one, I only met last rak'ah of Salat Isha. How can I pay the three rak'ahs? The same thing is also applicable to Maghrib. Meeting one rak'ah.
In the mazhab of Imam Maliki, whenever you come, you meet the Imam praying. Whichever rak'ah is in, is his own rak'ah. To you, it's your own first rak'ah. If you met him, for example, in the fourth rak'ah in Isha, like he said, to the Imam is his own fourth rak'ah. He will not recite openly, and he will not recite surah after Fatiha. But you, as your first rak'ah, you are supposed to recite openly, and you are supposed to recite surah after Fatiha. But because you are following the Imam, you are compelled to do exactly what the Imam does. The Imam now sits down, he makes tashahud, and he makes salama. And in your first rak'ah, you are now owing recitation, open recitation, and you are also owing a surah. Then you come to your second rak'ah, which is now you alone. You pray it as you should pray your second rak'ah, which means you recite your fatiha openly, you recite your surah openly. Then that's your own second rak'ah now. Normally after your second rak'ah, you are supposed to sit down, so you sit down. When you sit down now, you make tashahud, then you stand up to your third rak'ah. In your third rak'ah now, since you are owing open recitation of fatiha, you recite fatiha now openly. Since you are owing surah, you recite surah after it. Then you go, then you come back for your fourth rak'ah. When you stand up for your fourth rak'ah, then you are also owing that, because the first two rak'ahs, you missed it. So you also recite openly fatiha and surah, and then you finish it up. That's how you do. So the first, you met the fourth rak'ah. That fourth rak'ah, you said it without the surah, without openly saying fatiha. Then the Imam goes. You, in your second rak'ah now, you pay back. Then you sit down. In your third rak'ah now, you say it like your first rak'ah that you did not even see with the Imam. Then in your fourth rakah now, you have done your first rakah, you have paid back. For the second rakah, you have paid back. The fourth rakah, you pray it as fourth rakah. That is, you don't say it openly and there is no surah. That's how it is. It is also maghrib that you met the imam in the last rakah is the same thing. It's your own first rakah. There, when he finishes, you bring your second rakah, then you sit down and make tashahud, because that's your own second rakah. Then you stand up now and pray your third rakah.
Please, what is the ruling on sujood tilawa in salat, and how is it performed?
The sajda that you make, there are about 13 of them in the Quran, I think in Mazhab Imam Malik, and about 15 in the Mazhab of Shafi and Ahmad bin Hanbal. The place of sujada, when you come to it, is not compulsory, but it is good that you make sujada. If you are in the, if you are in raka'ah and you are reciting and you come to it, like was jud waqtarib. In our mazhab, anything from Surah Al-Mufassal, that's from Qaf to Nas, there is no sujada. But in the mazhab of Hanbali, there is sujada. If you recite Wazir Waqtarib in that situation, you go and make sujada and come back to stand before you go for your ruku'u. So anywhere there is sujada and you want to make sujada, you go and make sujada. It's only once, not twice. When you make sujada, you can still say what you used to say, Subhana rabbiyal a'la wa bihamdihi, or you can say Subbuhun Quddusun Rabbul Malaikatu wa Ruh three times, and then you stand up, then you continue the recitation of the remaining part of the surah before you go to the end of it and you go to your ruku.
For a student in the university who wants to memorize the Quran, what advice do you have for him?
The first advice is to get a teacher. Second advice is to have commitment. You get a teacher, the teacher will tell you how much you can take. Then don't take too much. As much as possible, restrict yourself to one copy of the Quran. The Quran you are going to use, let it be that same Quran you are using all the time. Don't change Quran. Because the mind is linked to the eyes. The mind will always remember where the verse is starting in a page, where it is ending. Once you change, it would go back and distort your mind again. So choose your Quran that you're going to be using and keep to it. Choose the teacher that is going to teach you and keep to it. Then choose the times that you will be using in memorizing, you will be using in making your tilawa, and don't change it. It's not the amount of time. You can decide to be memorizing only two verses a day. And believe me, you finish memorizing Quran. But be committed. The time you choose, that time should be devoted for it. And tilawa, you must be doing tilawa. Once you decide that you want to memorize Quran, you are now married to the Quran for the rest of your life. If you leave it, it will leave you. So it's a commitment. So that is it. That is the advice I will give you. And may Allah assist all of us to memorize Quran. Indeed, if anything should be memorized in this world, is the Quran. If anything should be read, is the Quran. May Allah make us to read the Quran more than anything. May Allah make our eyes to look at the Quran, to magnetize the Quran in our mind. Jal Musa Sallama. May Allah forgive us our sins. All those that are sick among us, may Allah give them health. All those that have died among us, may Allah forgive them. This country, all we are going through, may Allah make it to make us closer to Allah. And may Allah solve our problems for us. The economic problems, may Allah solve it for us. May Allah ta'ala, those that are willing to go to Hajj, they are finding it difficult to pay their remaining amount. May Allah give them what they will use in paying. Because they are going to Hajj, it's an assistance for the whole country. So these states that are subsidizing and are trying to pay the extra, may Allah reward those states. People want to go to Hajj. The time they paid you their money, your exchange rate was different. Now, you are the one that changed the exchange rate. You said they must pay the addition. The government should look at this. They are going to Hajj for their worship, but they are assisting Nigeria. Yes, it's very easy for non-Muslims to say we are in a secular state. It's very easy, because their religion has nothing to offer.
But our religion, for the one that has the minister Ilai Sabila, he should go to Hajj. You cannot say that last year he had the capacity. You reduce his capacity. But last year, the money that can take somebody to Hajj, the same money in this country cannot take anybody to Hajj. If you are paying him in gold, you look about telling him that you have reduced it, you cannot pay him again. If you are paying him in that, your so-called dollars, you look about telling you can't pay the amount of dollar again. So the leaders should look into it. But some states have gone ahead and are trying their best to see that they pay these differences for these pilgrims. May Allah reward them. May Allah forgive them their sins. May Allah forgive our sins, all of us. May Allah grant us the knowledge of the Quran. May He assist us with the Quran. May He make us to understand the Quran. May Allah ta'ala assist Muslims. May He assist Islam. All those assisting Islam, may Allah assist them. May Allah assist us to educate our children. All those looking for children, may Allah give it to them. All those looking for wives, may Allah give them good wives. All those looking for husbands, may Allah give them compassionate husbands. All those of us that are looking for where to live, may Allah give us houses. May Allah give us what we are going to write, what we are going to wear, may Allah give it to us. Those that have no food, may Allah provide food for them. Those of us that have food, may Allah make us to be able to be kind enough to share what we have. Jaya Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam. May Allah reward the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam for us. May Allah reward the Sahabas for us. May Allah make us to live this world with La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alamin. الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين اياك نعبد واياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين انعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين امين اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد الفاتح لما اغلق والخاتم لما سبق ناصر الحق الحق والهادي الى صراطك المستقيم وعلى اله حق قدر من قدر العظيم سبحان ربك رب العزه عما يصفون سلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين
I'm